Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Dover, optimal lineups in the Cup Series. This is just a little look-see. I'm not going to go into the context, the ins and outs, the lap-by-lap to explain why a value driver hit or why a driver led a bunch of laps. If you would like that information, you can get it in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet at my website, RaceForThePrize.com, or just simply look at the description below, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30, give you the May sheets, and you can go through everything. Saves you time, makes it easy, makes it more enjoyable. You'll love it. Everyone else loves it. We're all here having fun, partying, moving. Come join us. I appreciate it. You help me, I help you. You help me with the Mickey D's, I help you. So you can go through the context. Today, we will not do that. We'll just simply look at the optimal lineup breakdown. So you can see the 2023 optimal lineup. William Byron, boom, goes to Dynamite. Ross Chastain, boom, goes to Dynamite. Martin Truex Jr., boom, goes to Dynamite. Comes live in stage three, wins the race. Three hogs. Technically four. Drivers up top are going to scrape fast laps. This might be the trend that we need to focus on. But first and foremost, as we build for Dover, a race that tends to be green, we are more than likely looking at those three drivers that lead laps, run fast laps. We need three hogs. You got a 117, a 96, and a 92. Fourth guy probably does less, but finishes up front, scrapes some fast laps, and that could be a little different. Maybe it's going to be place differential as opposed to fast laps, as we see right here with Josh Berry, a little bit cheaper. Doesn't ultimately end up in the optimal lineup, but he does the place differential dance rather than the fast lap dance. Doesn't quite get the finish that he needs. That fourth guy is either going to be PD in a top five or a top five all day with a lot of fast laps. Not always the case that you can get PD and fast laps. It sometimes works out, but you have to work your way through traffic. And as you're working your way through traffic, those are laps where you're not going to be accruing fast laps. Whereas a driver starting closer to the front, like Ryan Blaney, is up front all day. And just some fast laps go his way. Either way, that's probably what you're going to look at for your fourth pick. Then you're going to go to value. Corey LaJoie, Harrison Burton. If you watched my previous video, they pretty much just ran where they ran. They weren't really home runs, although they were in a sense because qualifying was rained out. So this isn't necessarily the best race to look at in terms of this is the pattern. This is the way the optimals go. But obviously 27th starting position based on the formula. But he had a 16th place race car, finished 14th. Burton had a 23rd place race car, finished 20th. Remember, Burton wasn't that terrible last season. No magic, no mystery. A green flag run, a green flag race. That is Dover. And as we go through, the hypothesis would be that our optimal lineups, we should see average running positions, finishing positions pretty close. We shouldn't see a pattern of a significant difference between the two in value, and we shouldn't see much of a difference in our top of our lineup. Let's look at 2022. Hog, 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 or dominator, dominator, dominator. That's why I call them hogs, because, all right, it's a dominator. Well, then who dominated this race? That pause was for dramatic effect. The reason I don't say dominator is because, look, tell me who dominated this race. No, they just hogged the points. They had their time at the front. They looked good. And then someone else hogged the fast lap points. And someone else hogged it. I mean, if you really wanted to say who was the dominant driver in 2023, I would argue it was Martin Truex Jr. But he had fewer points. So, well, I don't say dominator. Anyway, you got three of them. And then, as I said before, there's your fourth guy. He actually is able to scrape off some fast laps once he gets to the front. Gets you the place differential in Christopher Bell. Starting 17th, quite affordable. Then our value, 7K under, we got Stenhouse. Gets a bunch of place differential, has a great, great finish. But still, average running position of 9th. Again, I will repeat, even with the value, there's no mystery, there's no magic. They run where they should run. Justin Haley, average running position of 13th, finishes 11th. Scared to play him starting 14th. But if you projected him there, then you projected him there, and he worked out. He scored the 11th most fantasy points. Again, they run where they should run. There isn't as much at Dover like other tracks where, I mean, we just came off a Texas race where I talked all week about it's going to be goofy at the end. and there's going to be place differential, and you may want to pick player drivers that you don't really like or that don't have speed. And that's exactly what happened. Here we are at Dover. The opposite is true. I'm not interested in taking the rando driver that finishes much better than he should and relies on cautions and strategies and wonkiness. Don't expect that to unfold at Dover. I expect green flag runs in stage three, and you've got what you got. That's what we've seen so far in his last two optimal lineups, especially in the next-gen car. We'll go back to 2021. What we got? Let's have some fun. Hog. Dominator, possibly. All right. You said there wasn't a dominator. Yeah, I reserve that for when someone actually dominates the race. But then at the same time, he didn't win. He didn't even win the race. How could one be a dominator and then not win the race? Because Alex Bowman beat him off pit road in stage three and just went out and drove off into the sunset. And Bowman wins the race. He's a hog. Chase Elliott, their third teammate, up there, all front, up front, all day, is scraping off the fasties. All pretty expensive. You can't afford the fourth Hendrick driver. Crazy. Crazy, crazy race. Then we go to Cole Custer at 77, place differential, finishes 10th, but he did run in 18th the entire day. A little bit better than where he should have, but still, you look at that SHR car, not bad, not crazy. A little bit more of a stretch, a little bit better of a finish, but doesn't really strike me as odd. Daniel Suarez finishes 9th, average running position, 14th, bunch of place differential. Again, not that crazy. Especially when we factor in that the Trackhouse cars have been very good at the concrete tracks. They have been very good at Nashville, Texas. It's not concrete, but there's a similar setup. Dover, not a surprise. Either way, finished about where he should. A little better, that's fine, but no surprise. And then our last value pick, just to save money to afford those expensive guys, was a Hail Mary and Quinn Huff. Remember him? Yikes, 2021, just a pure savings play. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you have to go that route because you're spending 11.5 on a Kyle Larson, 10.7 on a Chase Elliott. You're spending so much up here, you can't even get to Byron, who has 55 fantasy points. So this one actually ends up being a 3x3, really a 3x2x1, but it's a possibility. It is something to consider. So far, we've seen the four top, two Val twice, and then one where we had to really stretch out the savings. All right, going a little bit deeper, back to 2020, which is always a weird season, but we'll look at it because we've got a little bit of time here on the Fantasy NASCAR podcast. Harvick runs away at the show with a 171. You remember those COVID days. Just weird times. Kind of hard to look at this stuff, but you got Harvick. Johnson gets in there with 11 place differential. And look, you're not going to see a second or third hog in this because he simply just ran away at the show, which was a pattern that we saw in 2020. And remember, this is a 2020 B race. We did a doubleheader weekend. And because of the doubleheader weekend, the fast cars from race one all got gridded in a different spot. So they all became these place differential home run plays. You had to pay for them. But the thing is, like, oh, well, if Kevin Harvick was fast on Saturday, he's probably going to be fast on Sunday, you know, or fast enough. So we ran into that situation. But since there was just one hog, then it obviously defaults to place differential. I don't really want to look at that lineup that too much because those were just kind of weird times. 2020, I don't know if I want to look at this one either. But again, you got Hamlin and Truex starting up front, which was pretty much the case every day or every week when we were setting those COVID starting positions, and no one had practice, and we just saw these elite guys leading laps, starting up front all day, and there it is. You get Hamlin, you get Truex. Dylan gets in there on place differential. We were always chasing place differential during the COVID days because of where you finished the race before. That was where you were going to be, and remember all that mayhem. I don't really want to look at that. Maybe we'll look at the 2019 fall race. Larson's optimal, Hamlin's optimal, Bowman, who is excellent here, fits the mold of gets a little PD, gets up in the top five, scraping some fast laps. Hey, how about that? De Benedetto, place differential value play. Jimmy Johnson, running up front, scraping, affordable at 7,800. Ryan Preece, again, you want to look at the value plays. DiBenedetto's average running position was 12th, finishes 7th. Preece, 19th, 19th. Tis B. Dover, 19th spring as we wrap up. Truex, Elliott, Bowman, the showman, doesn't lead, but he runs up in the top five all day. Scrapes off those fast laps, very affordable. Then we go down to Suarez, average running position of 13th, finishes 11th. I imagine he did some funky cycling here. We also have Larson in the optimal, who is affordable. This was a different team, a different time, but he gets you there as a cheap version. And then also, I mean, we're going way back in time with William Byron as well. He actually ends up in the optimal lineup as a $6,700 William Byron. It's weird to think of him as a value play, but it was 2019. Average running position of 12th, finishes 8th. Your value is going to run where you expect him to run, finish there. You can trust the projections. Hopefully that gives you a pretty good idea of how to construct an optimal lineup. I'm looking for four big guys, at least three big biggies. One guy that could be PD or fast lapping or a little bit of both, but still pretty good equipment, pretty good driver. And then my two values will simply be who unloads fast during the weekend, who's been running well. I'm not expecting any miracles, but I will chase a little bit of place differential if I think the car just didn't qualify where they should have. That'll do it for me. Thanks for joining. Leave a like, share, recruit, freaking people to the channel. I love it. Blessed to have you guys here. Love you guys. Trip the light. Fantastic.